interesting that you know, we are had even the beginning of service that we had this morning. We had one of our dear brothers go to the hospital. We had a faithful couple, John and Amy, testify of what God's doing in their life and actually doing healing. And then we laid hands on Stephanie and prayed that God would watch over her health and do kind of healing there. And the message that I knew I was supposed to preach was about healing. Amen. The healing Father. The healing Father. You know, I knew I was supposed to preach on healing. I knew that this was the word that God was stirring in my heart and really moving on me to share. And so it was by no means going to change course because of something that happened in the Supreme Court. But I'm here to tell you, the enemy tried to do that. And I think that he was trying to use that as a distraction too. He can use that as a distraction. People can, you know, really get fearful and all kinds of stuff. We're not going to preach about the Supreme Court. We're going to preach about healing, baby. We're going to preach. We are going to preach about healing. God heals today. He is a healing God. We serve a healing God. And I believe that we're going to all be encouraged today. Let me read you a story. Go to the next slide. This man's name is Tommy Hicks. Behind him is a sea of people. He was a evangelist that traveled in 1954, and he traveled to Argentina in response to a vision that he had from God. And in this vision, he had a vision that he was supposed to speak to the president of the country. All this is recorded. You can look it up on the internet. And the president's name was Perón. In his attempts to make an appointment with President Perón, Hicks went to the minister of religion. And this minister told him that an appointment with the president was impossible, totally impossible. It says, while they were speaking, the minister's secretary limped into the room and had a badly swollen leg. He asked permission to go home. This man, Tommy, suggested that they pray for this man's leg. The minister scoffed. The minister of religion scoffed. He said, if Jesus himself were here, he could not help this leg. However, not to be put off, Hicks said, let me pray. He put his hand on the leg and prayed. Instantly, the man's pain left. As a result of this healing, the minister took Hicks to the president, who gave him permission to begin large stadium crusades. Through the crusades, many more were healed, and God sent revival to the nation of Argentina. I don't know how familiar you all are with the Argentinian revival, but it lasted from about, the dates were 1949 to 1968. So it was almost 20 years of large crusades, large salvations, large amounts of salvations, and many healings. People that were in wheelchairs, God getting out of wheelchairs, and this kind of thing. Very powerful thing. So I just want to say that we are, that divine healing is a part of the gospel. It's a part of the gospel. You can go to the next slide. So what is divine healing? It's Jesus performing a healing. I think that was the blind guy. I think he's putting his hands on the blind guy. So divine healing is the act of God through Jesus, through the prayers of the saints, where a person is healed physically and or delivered from emotional, mental, or spiritual affliction. See, it's good for us. It's something so easily understood about the healing of a sick person. There's something so easy, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But healing is so much more. I think that we can all testify in this place that before we knew the Lord, that we had no way of ever believing that we could have this relationship with God. We can testify that the greatest healing that God can do is in the heart of a person. That's huge. That healing is so miraculous. It's on such a massive level. Nothing can be compared to that kind of healing. And I'm here to tell you, if nothing else ever got healed, I'd want a healed heart. I'd want to be right with the Lord. So healing is more. It's more than just healing from disease. It is that. It is healing from disease, but it's more. I put here, God heals sinners. God heals damage to the body. God heals disease to the body. God heals the mind. God will heal the mind. God will heal addictions. He heals addicts. God heals marriages. Hallelujah. God heals marriages. God heals depression. God will heal perversions like homosexuality. God restores the brokenhearted. Those that are in loss. We serve a healing God. We serve a healing God. Divine healing, then. What is divine healing? Divine healing is the power of God. Psalms 103 says, in verses 2 and 3, says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We live in a time where there are still those who are opposed to healing, opposed to this. Obviously, we would not expect an atheist to believe in healing. Atheists refuse to believe supernatural miracles. They refuse to believe anything that is not able to be reproduced. But I would say this. I would say that if a person that didn't believe in God could reproduce a miracle, then they would call it a human something that they did. They would take the credit for it. And God will not share his glory with another. God will not share his glory with another. So sometimes believers, sometimes we as believers, especially young Christians, especially Christians that are baby Christians, can be influenced by people that are in society that claim to be scholarly. And they are scholarly in their area of study. They have studied. But they have the lacking element, and that's faith in the God we serve. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Their eyes are blinded. They don't know our God. And they refuse to accept our testimony. We have a testimony, you guys. We have a testimony. We're witnesses. We're ambassadors for Christ. We have the Spirit of God in us, and God has transformed our lives. And we are walking miracles. And they refuse to accept a miracle when it's standing right in front of them. So believers can be shook by this, but don't be. Don't be shaken by highly educated scholars. The best human mind is no match for the intelligence of God. None. So most Christians have no problem not accepting a secular point of view, because it's obvious, well, they don't believe in miracles. But some Christians are shook by other groups of Christians that don't accept healing today. This is there. This is here. Some evangelicals consider the healing miracles to be gifts of the Spirit, no longer in operation. They are typically people that give priority to philosophy. They give priority to education. Have you ever met someone who just had all the answers? They're out there, and they've got, and there's a breed of evangelicals that refuse to accept healing. We don't say that they're not our brothers and sisters in Christ. What we understand is that they do not accept a full gospel. We believe in the full deal around here. Hallelujah. We are full dealing it up. It is good. I want the full deal, baby. I want the supersize. That's why I always love supersizing it, because I want it all. Double meat. The whole thing. I love it. All right, I'm coming back. Typically, they believe some weird thing, that they believe that the gifts ended. They don't have a specific date when they ended. It's just all not in the Bible. The truth is, it never stopped. Never stopped. A lot of healings going on. A lot of testimonies about healing. So that's what they believe. So we need to say, God, what is truth? What is real? God, speak to us this morning. So I was in Dallas a few weeks ago, and we were traveling around, and I just felt this burden on my heart. And God just said, speak about healing. This is before I even preached last time. This is before that. And I believe God wants to just renew our faith here as a congregation for healing. And I believe we're going to see more healings. I'm just putting it out there. I believe that that's what I've received and heard. And that's what we're going to walk in. Amen. We're going to see more healings. So I am preaching that through the conviction of God, I'm preaching that our faith for healing would rise. And I'm preaching that God will receive glory. I want to preach that we would know the healing Father. Amen. Let's pray together. God, you are our healer. Lord, you have healed us. Lord, you have changed us. Lord, you haven't left us in darkness. But Lord, you've opened our eyes. And Lord, you've given us new hearts. Lord, you've given us new love. We didn't have it. We didn't have it before, Lord. We're so cold. Are you giving us compassion? Lord, we pray, God, this morning, Lord, that you would just minister the truth of your word, God. Lord, and we pray, God, Lord, that the lost would be found, Lord, that the broken would be restored, Lord. That the hurt, Lord, and the ones beaten by this world, Lord, would be healed, God. Lord, raise us our faith, God, Lord, that we would just see you for who you are, Lord, and believe you, God, for what you said you do. I just pray that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to Acts chapter 3. Verses 1 through 16, or 1 through 10, I'm sorry. Now it says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was the one who sat begging for alms at Gate Beautiful of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened. Amen. The beggar. Here we got them. Peter and John, the beggar. Why is there sickness? Why is there sickness? That's the first question I want us to ask. Why is there sickness? I believe that a good question like this is foundational. It's like the bottom rung of a ladder. You got to step on that bottom rung if you want to get to the top rung. And so that we can just level the ground here and get a good understanding right from the Bible about why there's sickness. Amen. Because I think that there's confusion that arises. Confusion, and it can start out confusion in one area, but then it'll manifest itself over here in a wrong teaching, right? So they'll kind of start over here, and then they'll kind of mix this with opinion over here, and then it kind of, you know, all the way over here, and then all of a sudden they're like, well, this is it. We got to do this, you know? And it's like, whoa, 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 you know? Wait a second. Where are we at? Where are we at here? Where are we at? So I want us to look at what the Word says about sickness and see the origin of sickness. And I believe that it's necessary for people who are seeking for healing. We need to see sickness the way God does. Now, this story says, that the man was lame from his mother's womb all the way. I think it's a really interesting story, by the way. I just want to side note this way over here just real quick. It's interesting that this man was lame all the way from his mother's birth, and he'd always been carried every day to the temple. This was the same temple that Jesus had been going to. There was a reason Jesus didn't heal this man himself. Interesting. Find that very interesting. So, bringing it back. This man was lame from his mother's womb, and he'd been carried every day to the gate beautiful to beg for alms. We need to ask ourselves, where does sickness come from? The first scripture I want us to look at is 1 Corinthians 15, 21 through 22. It says, "For since by man came death, by man, capital M, Jesus, also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive." Now this is it's talking about two things, talking about spiritual. So let's get some other scriptures to see what we're saying. Romans 5, 12 says, "Just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned." So let's go, I don't think I put it, let's go all the way back to the beginning, all the way back to Genesis. Genesis 2, I think I forgot to put that on there. Genesis 2:15, if you want to open it. So let's go back to what they're talking about. So in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.' And then the Lord said, 'It is not good for man to be alone.'" Oh, wait. That's a different sermon. Alex knows about that sermon, baby. Oh, yeah. We didn't welcome for the very first time Mr. and Mrs. Alex Miller. Welcome. Welcome to Church of Living Hope. So it's our first time here as Mrs. Miller. It's our first time here. So what we're talking about, two things. We're talking about spiritual and we're talking about natural. They were not having cancer in the Garden of Eden. Amen? They were not dying in the Garden of Eden. And when that happened, sin and death entered the world. We need to understand this. There's little room for confusion and error. Sickness and death are here because of this that happened. This is where it all began. I asked the Lord, I prayed, and I think that this is a crude illustration probably, but it's the best that I could come up with. Go to the next one. This is a pileup. Now, why did this guy, was it this guy's fault? Was it this guy's fault? You know, ultimately one person lost control, right? Now, you know, maybe it's this guy's fault because he was actually there. You know, he could have been a mile down the street and he wouldn't have even gotten the wreck. The bottom line is something happened and everything else came out of it. Is that a decent illustration? Decent? I was praying about that. So we need to understand that health, not sickness, was God's original intention. It's so easy for us to ask these questions. How could I get cancer? How could my baby be born with a heart defect? How could this couple say they don't love each other anymore? How could a parent want drugs more than me? How could they go back to drugs after not using for so long? This was not how it was supposed to be. Sin separates us from God, but salvation brings us back onto the original plan. Amen? God's in the restoration business. He's a restorer. So we need to see this. We need to see that this is the origin. So if that's the origin, then there are other issues that then come out of this. I want to read a story. It says, it's called The Problem of Sickness. It says, after their daughter had been horribly disfigured by an accident at birth, an evangelist told the parents that their sin caused the girl's suffering. This magnified the parents' grief and their minds and spirits even more than it damaged the daughter. They blamed themselves and lived under condemnation for years. Was his statement true? No, he placed a false burden of guilt on an innocent person. Like that evangelist, some teach that all sickness comes from a personal sin. This is not accurate. This is not accurate. Some teach that every sickness comes from an unconfessed sin, or that every sickness comes from a lack of faith. This is not accurate. This is not accurate. We need to just go ahead and set that up. I want to read a few things. At times, sickness can result from a personal sin. This can happen, but this is not always the case. Amen? Jesus went, we've got to get back to the word. Jesus, when he was at the pool of Bethesda, saw the man, the guy that was trying to get in the pool. And when he healed him, he said, stop sinning or something worse can happen to you, will happen to you. So Jesus clearly states this, but this, what happens is you take that one instance and then you carte blanche it all over everything. It's not accurate. At other times, sickness came from a demonic attack. We have many of these stories. Luke 13, 11. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1's not. So what I'm trying to say is that sometimes it was a demon, and other times it was not a demon. So then we have some teachings that come out that says all of it is a demonic attack. That's not accurate either. Sometimes it is a demon, but sometimes Jesus cast out a demon, and sometimes he just laid the hands on the sick and said, be healed. Had nothing to do with a demon. So we have to be careful there as believers that demons can be involved, but not all of it comes from demons. In many cases, sickness is simply a result from living in a sin-filled planet. I was chomping down stuff in my backyard, man, like a wild man with a machete. I was going crazy. Little did I know that my whole field, the whole thing was poison ivy. I was making war with poison ivy, and that thing won. I mean, big time. I had it all on my arm. I didn't have to worry if it was a demon. I didn't have to worry that I had sin in my life. I got some poison ivy on my arm, and it hurt. And it was bad news blues. So we have to be discerning. We have to be discerning. We have to have the wisdom of God. Some sickness can come from sin also. And this can get to a situation where it can be hindering the prayer for the individual. Like a person who refuses to stop smoking, but they're asking for prayer for lung cancer, and they won't stop. Are y'all feeling what I'm saying? This can be an issue. God wants to heal the body, but he wants to heal the soul. Everything, mind, body, soul. He wants to do a full work. Like somebody praying that they have cirrhosis of the liver, but they drink a quart of whiskey every night. Are y'all feeling what I'm saying here? Believers also get sick. Believers also get sick. This is the effects of living in a world that is full of sickness and death and sin. Sometimes God allows it for us to draw closer to him. 1 Peter, let's look at that. Let's look at that together. 1 Peter chapter 6. No, I think it's chapter 1, verse 6. Yes, there's no. Yeah, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Some things God allows just for us to get closer to him. Just so we can learn how to pray. Just so we can have compassion on other people. Real compassion. My mother testifies that now when she hears of other families where their kids get in trouble or get on drugs, she has compassion for those people. She doesn't judge those people. She doesn't say, well, they must have royally messed their kid up. She says, I understand what you're going through. I've gone through it too. God will do this, will allow this. So if there is sickness, so we need to understand that there's reasons for sickness, and this should relieve us from false condemnation that the enemy tries to bring on us. So if there's sickness, who's God? God is the healing Father. He's the healing Father. See, in our story, Peter and John are men. I think I have a picture of just them. Peter and John are men that are on the Father's mission. Amen. They're men that are on his mission. And they're carrying out the will of the Father. And so I want to read where we have what the Bible says about God and shows about God. First of all, in Exodus 15, God, his own pronouncement about himself, he says, I am the Lord who heals you. I've heard that in King James so many times, I just want to quote it in King James. I am the Lord that healeth you. I don't know, there's something sounds cool about that. Praise God. I am the Lord that healeth you. Jesus' ministry. Jesus was the Son of God in human form, the exact representation of the Father's nature and character. He constantly went to the sick and healed them. The provision of Christ's atonement, Christ's death was more than enough. His blood was more than enough to provide forgiveness, and it was more than enough to provide freedom. Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 5 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. For he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. It's more than enough. Then we have the ongoing ministry of the church. Mark's gospel, chapter 16, says, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, records spiritual gifts of healing given to the church. It was the constant practice of the early church to lay their hands on the sick. Lay their hands on the sick. I've got an illustration. This is this next picture. This is an old, during the Civil War, and this was a father who heard that his son was out in battle and hadn't come back. Well, he gets out his torch, and he's going in to the battlefield, and he hears cries and different people, and he's calling out his son's name, and then he begins to find people that are just dead. They're gone. It's over with. And he begins to lose heart, and he's looking for his son. And he's calling out the name of his son. And he says, son, where are you? And he hears a voice that says, daddy, I'm over here. I knew you would come, daddy. I knew you would come. Jesus. That's the love of a father. Amen. That's the love of a father. Father loves his children. And that's the healing. The Bible puts it so clear. The Bible puts it so clear. He says, if your father knows how to give good gifts, how much more does a father in heaven give gifts to those that ask? So I believe God's our healing father, and he wants to heal. I believe God wants to renew our faith for him for healing. We have renewed faith because we know it's his character to heal. We know it's who he's shown us in his word that he is. We know that in faith we can come to him. We know that healing brings God glory. Amen. So the last thing I want to say is we're to seek healing. In our account, the beggar, you can go to the next one, he's healed. The beggar's healed. And he gives God glory. See, when they come up to him, it says in our story, it says he looked up to him, and it says he expected to receive something. It says he wanted something. He wanted money. So, and Peter and John said, I don't have no money, but I've got Jesus. And he reaches out. And when he reaches out, that man, that beggar doesn't call him crazy, does he? That beggar doesn't say, get that hand away from me. I wanted the cashola. He says he stands up on feet that had never walked before. Amen. He stood up on those feet, even though they'd never walked a mile in his life. He said, I want this. I want to get this. He believed. He didn't argue. So we need to do that with God. We need to know that God is a sovereign healer, and he heals those who come to him. I do want to read this, and this is on my heart to read. This is right out of the Fire Bible. If anyone ever has the Fire Bible, it's really good. It has a really good article on divine healing. And I want to read this because this is truth, and I'm not trying to hinder our faith, but I'm trying to speak the truth. Amen? As before God. There can be hindrances to healing, so I'm going to read them now. James chapter 5 says that holding on to sin can hinder healing. From Luke, it says that living in a way that opens one's life to demons can hinder healing. It says from Proverbs and from Philippians that fear, which is the deep opposite of faith, can hinder. It also says from John and Mark, past disappointments can block present faith. Other people can try and get in the way. We can accept teaching that's not true. It can be a failure on part of leadership of a church to pray for people who need healing. It can be a failure of a church to accept and use the gifts of healing that God tells us to do. It can be unbelief. It can be self-centered. It can be a person that is not saved. So, all of those are possibilities. In Africa, we saw people that had never believed get healed. God will heal anybody to get glory. But these need to be examined in our life. These can be issues. So I wanted to speak that out in truth. And are we already out of time? Jesus, help us. I want my wife to come up now. I asked a couple people to share their testimonies. God bless you, and thank you for saying that you would. Well, we have two testimonies right now, right in our midst. Shelby, just stand up. Shelby had a heart attack and died. I saw this man die. He was blue as Philip's shirt right there. I mean, blue. And Miss Charlotte, God bless her. And all of us were praying, but I remember Miss Charlotte got in the spirit and she said, you shall live and not die. And she was praying, I mean. And this man pretty much came back from the dead. Amen. Debbie Bailey, will you just stand? She just recently shared her testimony. Was walking with a cane. God told her to lay the cane down. Look at her. She is moving around. We serve the healing God. We serve the healing God. And John, we are praying for you and your family. And we are believing. We are praying for Dorsey. And those are just the ones we know about. We realize that there are issues in this room. But God wants to renew the faith of his people. He wants to renew the faith of those who love him and who are seeking him. And so I just want the prayer team to come up. God wants to do this fresh move that we've been preaching about. We want to see the healing of bodies. We want to see the healing of minds. We want to see the healing of marriages. There's healing power. Healing power. We want to see people that are hurting healed, brokenhearted. We want to see people who have sickness in their body healed. We want to see people get saved. We want to see salvation. And so, even as my wife sings, if you have something that needs healing, I want you to come up and we will anoint you with oil. There's power in just doing what God says. God says, anoint with oil. We do it. God says, lay the hands on the sick. That's an important thing that God talks about thoroughly. The laying on of hands. There's a power there. And I'm not pretending to know everything about it. But I know that there's power in the laying on of hands. And so we just go with that. Amen. When me and my wife start feeling sick, we lay hands on each other, and we have been healed of so many things. It's awesome. We pray for babies that are in the womb. We do that, and now we have a wonderful little boy running around. God is interested and is highly concerned about physical bodies. Physical bodies. He's more concerned about our spiritual health, but he has countless and countless times talks about being concerned with our physical bodies, what we're walking in right now. So I would just say, if there are any of you that want to come to God, I pray that you would respond to him. And let's all just be in prayer as a congregation. Amen. Let's just pray for these that are here.
Are you? presence, lifting up the name of Jesus, a strong tower meant to save us, and now nothing will defeat us. We are boldly interceding for our children lost and bleeding. We'll see slavery bow to freedom and the sick restored to healing. So we fight for those who've fallen, and we take back what's been stolen from our families, shamed and broken. Hope will rise and hearts will open. We'll see joy defeat depression, liberation from addiction. For when we are at our weakest, then your power is completed. Faithful forever are you, God. Are you, God. Merciful healer are you.
Man, why don't you just take extend your hands this way toward these that are up here right now. Father, we are grateful, Lord, because you are a healing God. Lord, you're faithful. Lord, you're faithful, Lord God, working, moving behind the scene when we don't understand. Lord, in situations where we can't even comprehend, Lord God, you're at work. Not only to heal our physical bodies, Lord, but to intervene in our situation when we see no way out, Lord, you are faithful. Lord, you were faithful, Lord, even to preserve our lives when we didn't know you, when we didn't care, when we could care less about you, Lord. Even as the word says, when we were your enemy, Lord, you had mercy upon our ignorant souls. And thank you, Lord God, now as your children, Lord, even as your word declares, you desire. And Lord, you don't give wicked gifts to your children, Lord God. You get good gifts to your children, Lord God. You bless them with life and hope and purpose, Lord God, and a future and plans. And Lord, we speak that over every life here this morning, Lord God, and the healing power of Jesus to work in physically and spiritually and mentally and emotionally, Lord God. We pray that all these needs would be met because of you, Jesus. You're the author. You're the finisher of our faith, Lord. You're the one that has the plan. Lord, we don't have the plan. You've got the plan for eternity, for today, for tomorrow, for the next day of our lives, for our families' lives, Lord God. Spirit of living God, have your way, Jesus. Meet every need, Lord. Meet every need, Lord God. Touch the physical, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual needs, the financial needs, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Why don't we all stand? I like the blessing, so I'm going to continue the tradition. And I don't believe it's just a tradition. I think there is a definite impartation in blessing. Just want to encourage you, your families, your friendships, to literally do that, to speak blessing over people. I am thoroughly convinced that in that right there is the power of life and death. It is. When word goes forth, it goes forth, and it's going to bring two things. It's going to bring life, or it's going to bring death. We have the ability. That is one of the ways we are made in the image of God, is our words have the ability to speak life and death. And that's not some hyper-spiritual faith thing where, you know, people get off way off in some tangent. That they do. I'm not talking about, you know, give me my Cadillac and, you know, whatever. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about relationally with people. We have that ability to speak life and death in the people's lives that we are around. Brothers and sisters in Christ, children, mothers, fathers. So I just encourage you, speak life. Amen? Raise your hands this way and let's receive the Lord's blessing. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you, lift up his countenance upon you, and give you his peace. And Lord, may you order our steps this week. Lord, may our lives bring you glory and honor. Lord, give us ears to hear you. Lord, give us eyes to see you. Lord, give us sensitive spirits to walk in your spirit. Give us obedient hearts to follow you, Lord God, and be faithful unto you. In all these things, Lord God, may we bring you glory and honor. And we ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you.